Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
All right. You heard it. Top six at six.
That's right, buddy. Don't mess it up. D-Mac and I mess it up every single day, so I promise you the bar is set low. Whatever you do can't be worse than what we do.
Okay, well, we'll start it this way. Unanimous U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the NCAA on the question of whether antitrust laws apply to rules restricting the benefits that any school may offer to student athletes. How close are we to the NCAA becoming a completely open market?
Yeah, I think we're a ways away from that, Sean. This is a step in the right direction. I don't think that next year we're going to have certain players making $5 million a year, but we're probably heading in that direction eventually. Now it gets complicated, because the right thing is for the guys to get paid, for the players, for the student athletes to get paid. That is the right thing. If you bring value to any sort of business, you should get paid. The complicated thing is, how do they get compensated? I'm not smart enough to figure that one out. I've got ideas. I don't know how you quite figure that out, but I know this. It probably starts with the athletes getting a union, and it goes from there.
All right, ring it, Kevin.
Tom Brady said that there is a team out there that was interested in him last year, but they decided that they were going to stick with that player. He also referred to that player as, "You're sticking with that blankety blanker." Who was that team?
I mean, you would assume it was the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
Is that what he thinks of Jimmy Garoppolo?
On top of that, he's got an axe to grind, right?
Is that his relationship with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know what the relationship is. But, I mean, who else would it be, right? But it could be. What other teams pursued him?
What if it was
the Broncos
were pursuing him, and they're like, "You're sticking with that"?
Let's face it, the Broncos probably called. When Brady was available, you had to call. I mean,
you had to call.
Yeah. Due diligence, you have to at least call.
You had to call, for sure.
And then Brady said that they weren't interested in the end.
They weren't interested.
They bailed out because they weren't interested. Drew Lock had won 4 out of 5 by then.
It does feel like it was probably the 49ers. It does feel like that he has to have a complicated relationship with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, there's no way that when the Patriots drafted Jimmy G, Tom was like, "Oh, that's going to be my best buddy. Yeah. I feel great about
him." I don't think John Elway and Tommy Maddox hang out.
When Bill Belichick wanted to trade Tom Brady instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, and Robert Kraft had to step in and be like, "No, you're trading Jimmy." You think Tom's got great feelings about him? Probably was the 49ers. Could have been the Raiders. Kevin just chirped in. Could have been the Raiders. They've been involved in just about every quarterback that's been out there for the last couple of years.
Who'd Derek Carr make mad?
He seems pretty
vanilla. Yeah. I'm really super concerned about Derek Carr annoying people.
So who does Tom Brady think of like that? Probably the entire world. Who does Tom Brady not think of like that? That's the real question.
Compared to Tom Brady?
Yeah. Bring it.
Chauncey Billups, one of the finalists for the Portland Trail Blazers head coaching vacancy. Becky Hammon, the Spurs assistant coach, former CSU Ram, is also, they both reportedly getting second interviews with the Trail Blazers. How long until both of these two are head coaches?
Well, win-win for Colorado, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. If they hire either one of those, that's awesome. Obviously, I'm a huge Chauncey fan. I don't know Becky on a personal level like I know Chauncey. Not that I'm buddy-buddy with him, but I do know him. He went to high school with my brother-in-law. I've had a lot of reasons to interact with Chauncey. So, really, really rooting for him. The Becky Hammon story is just flat-out incredible, though. I mean, she's had one heck of a rise, one heck of a career, first off. And then the rise in the coaching ranks and the respect that she's had amongst her peers in the NBA has been pretty incredible to watch. So, good for the Trailblazers. I'm rooting for either one of them. I guess, go Colorado, people.
Sounds like maybe one of them's going to get it. So there you go.
Yeah.
Ring it, Kevin.
Are you a detective? Are you are you into Clue? Do you solving
puzzles? Oh,
puzzles?
No.
Riddles?
I already told you about the cycling thing. I'm really lazy.
Yeah?
Seriously.
But you're smart, so I think you can probably figure out whether this means something or not. And it's a period of time in which there's not a whole lot to figure out what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. There's a small little breadcrumb out there. Terrible joke, Zach Bye, by the way. Anybody that was listening to Zach Bye earlier, terrible joke with the breadcrumb deal, all right? Aaron Rodgers has renewed his golf membership at the Green Bay Country Club.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. For another year, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know what golf clubs you renew on a year-to-year basis. That's kind of weird.
I don't belong to one. I would.
Also, I guess I'm going to totally just trash on my own question before you even have a chance to answer it, but do we really think that Aaron Rodgers is, like, paying his own bills? Do you think he's, like, writing a check to the Green Bay Country Club?
I think he's probably got a guy that does that, right?
What, like he hires someone?
What does
this mean? Is he going back to the Packers now because he's now got another year at the Green Bay Golf Club?
Well, no, because I'm looking at their website right now, and it just says, it's all about the experience. Well,
Richie,
you wouldn't want to pass up on the experience.
Richie, can you find out how much it costs for a yearly membership at the Green Bay Golf Club? What's it called? Country Club?
Green Bay Country Club. Pretty straightforward.
I want to know how big of a commitment this was for Aaron Rodgers. Was this a lunch at McDonald's? Was this a dinner at Red Robin, or was it a dinner at Del Frisco's? I don't know.
It's probably not hundreds of thousands.
They don't even have like an operating website, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and they kind of have sort of a little 19th hole, but not really.
Huh.
I think it's probably just all this in Green Bay. That's like just all there is. I presume.
Over or under $5,000 do you think he had to pay
over.
For that?
Got to be over. I don't know. What does a golf club membership cost? I don't have one.
Okay, what is a number that would be significant to Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, like 100,000?
Newsflash. He's willing to pay the Packers $11.5 million right. out of his own pocket in order to not play for that organization this year.
I don't think this means
whatever this country club dues are, doesn't mean anything in Aaron Rodgers' sweepstakes.
I think it was on the auto renewal. They just hit his credit card again.
Right. Or somebody paid his dues for him. Right. Or maybe they just gave him another year. Maybe they're just trying to recruit him and they just gave it to him for free and now they're leaking that story that he's got another year.
It could be. Yeah. Makes sense trying to keep it. All right.
Bring it.
Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, they're healthy now. They're healthy now. Everyone knock on whatever wood is available nearby you. Cross your fingers. Whatever your superstition is. They're healthy now. If they stay healthy for a whole season, now you have that defensive backfield. You have Vic Fangio as the head coach. What could these guys do together?
Ah, oh, man. It's a fun one to dream about a couple years ago, right? is that bad that when I think about it? Like, if we get these two guys at their all-time best that they could play
back in the olden times of 2018.
What are we really getting? I mean, if we got a 10-sack year out of Von Miller, wouldn't we be thinking that was one hell of a season? I mean, seriously, 10 sacks.
2 years ago, he had 8.5, so it'd be better.
And 2 years ago, he was trying to get run out of town for 8.5 sacks. But my expectations are different. He's older. He's had the injuries. Bradley Chubb, been injured every single year, including coming off of a fresh injury that he just had surgery on, like, 2 weeks ago. What is realistic for these guys? I would set the number at 20 between the two of them. Now, I'm not talking about the room, but just those two guys. If they accumulated 20 sacks between the two of them, I would say, okay, good year. Not a great year. I'm not, like, super-duper proud of it, but I'm like, okay, you did a good job.
Yeah, I guess I can live with that. All right. Bring it, Kevin.
Tom Brady, when he plays Mac Jones this year, it will be, if Mac Jones were to be the starter, it would be the largest age difference between starting quarterbacks ever.
Oh, wow.
Which, I guess, every year that Tom Brady plays, he's going to have that situation pop up if he plays against a rookie, I suppose. Do you have, like, a memory that pops out of just, like, man, the old versus the new, like, and boy, the old is just probably better, even though the new is better looking and younger and healthier.
Boy, and it does come up.
It kind of puts you on the spot there a little bit.
No, but I'm trying to think right off the bat. You know what? Yeah, I think back to the watching years ago when the New York Rangers won the cup with Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Right at the tail end of his career and didn't think he could go ahead and pull it off. And New York hadn't won it forever. And then they end up getting that. And he was parading that cup around. He wouldn't give it back. He was showing it to everybody because everyone thought he was finished. He's like, oh, yeah?
Right.
How's this? That's the last one I can think of.
Yeah.
It doesn't come up very often. What would be the age difference?
I know I've got a personal story. Oh, what would they...
What's the number?
Let me...
How old is Mac Jones?
Mac Jones. Brady will be 44 on August 3rd. Jones will be turning 23 on September 5th. So he's 22 right now.
Wow.
Holy cow, 22 year.
Well, that could be a legitimate who's your daddy game.
Difference. Holy cow.
Wow.
I know it happened to be my rookie year, man. I was faced off against some really talented pass rushers. I went up against James Harrison, Lamar Woodley, and I kind of like held my own, and those two guys were in their prime. James Harrison was a little bit older, but he was still in his prime, right? And I held my own, and I was feeling like super proud of myself. Next week, I go up against, you might actually know this name. Most people probably don't. Go up against like 45-year-old Greg Ellis, who was playing defensive end for the Raiders at the time. Had a tremendous career, but at that point in his career, I mean, he was barely hanging on. And I did great against Lamar Woodley and James Harrison. I went up against 45-year-old Greg Ellis, and he came out there with those ninja hands and that gray-haired wisdom, and oh my gosh, he just crushed me, destroyed me.
Well, I got smoked by my dad on the golf course yesterday, so I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, bring it. One more for you here. I think this is to get to know you better. This is the first show we've ever done together.
Yeah.
So, the All-Star Game is coming to Denver.
Yeah.
In just a few weeks. You a All-Star Game guy or a Home Run Derby guy?
Oh, good question. Are we talking specifically about Major League Baseball, obviously, since you
mentioned Major League Baseball right here in Coors Field?
Oh, I'll be interested in all of it, for sure. Matter of fact, Major League Baseball, of all the sports, by far does the best job with their All-Star Game. Like, they make it actually, it's a compelling product.
Yeah.
It matters, sort of, a little bit. The players care. They go out there and they actually try. I mean, name another sport in which the All-Star Game is not just an absolute embarrassment.
There isn't one.
Right? So, I love the Home Run Derby. That's fantastic, especially the fact that it's going to be at Coors Field. I love that Shohei is going to be out there in the Home Run Derby. That's going to be awesome to watch as well. This is going to be great, man. It's going to give me a personal reason to feel vested in baseball again, at least for a week.
Shohei Ohtani, by the way, earlier today, hit a home run that had the exit velocity of 115.7 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel bad for the fan who caught that. Ouch.
I mean, how does that happen? Like, how does he get created? Like, how does that happen in today's world of specialized sports?
Then he can hop out and strike you out on the other side of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing to see, actually.
Hold on. So I asked Richie to do some homework on, I wanted to know how much Aaron Rodgers
Green Bay Country Club
on his Green Bay Country Club membership. Was this a McDonald's meal? Was it Del Frisco's? What was it? Richie, you did some work. What did we find out?
I did. Well, if you go to their website, which is pretty looking but very limited in terms of the information, they don't list prices. They make you fill out a membership interest form and submit it online, and then they contact you directly.
Okay.
So they don't list the rates, but Kevin and I did a little bit of searching.
So did you call them and be like, hey, I'm interested in joining?
They got back to you pretty quick then.
Well, I have to fill out the form. No, I did not do that.
You just call them and be like, hey, guys, I got cash today. I want to join right now. How much is it going to cost?
There's a number right there in the lower corner. It was right there.
On the phone every day. If I called you and you didn't know me, but I sounded like me and said, hey, I have cash on hand. How much are you buying that me on the other end of that phone has got, you know, the bankroll to do that? But we did go, we did search through online, and it looks like, even though it doesn't say so officially on their website, it's about $7,000 a year.
Yeah, that means nothing about the Aaron Rodgers story then. Nothing.
That's actually
pocket change for him.
Every year. No, of course that's pocket change.
Reading into that. That means nothing, everybody. No, absolutely zero.
$7,000. That's seriously. What did he spend that on breakfast this morning?
Yeah.
He definitely spent more than that on his Hawaii vacation.
Yeah, they didn't even notice. He might not have actually, you know, they did the research. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers knows he re-upped at the Green Bay Country Club.
No.
What if it was just an auto-renew thing?
Yeah.
He probably found out on the radio. He's like, oh, that's right. Ah, I meant to cancel that.
I didn't want to join for another year. Right. Can I get my money back?
Oh, man.
I got to go to breakfast today. Oh. I need that $7,000.
It is on Klondike Road, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
You know that's a terrible country club. We had somebody on the text line get all bent out of shape because I was making fun of Green Bay Country Club. They're like, Tyler, do some research about Green Bay Country Club before you make fun of it. Stop talking you-know-what about it unless you've actually been there. Okay. I mean, really, have you been to Green Bay Country Club? Are you proud of Green Bay Country Club? Seriously, how nice could it be?
They could play golf probably
5 weeks out of the entire year. How many weeks a year can you actually play golf?
Right on the top, it says winter is one of the things you can click.
Yes, yes.
Right on the right top of the webpage.
No, winter is here. It's always here.
Yeah. It says the outdoor fun doesn't end with golf season.
Do they have a couple trees on the course, maybe?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You can have, oh, it says right here. Dining.
You can ice fish on the ponds.
You can eat there. You can have special events, and it has a golf simulator and a putting green.
See? Because you got to play inside.
You have to play inside.
That's the key.
They actually show it. It's their indoor performance center.
You're paying for the simulator. That's what the real cost is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But why doesn't their knowledge just buy a simulator?
Can you believe there's somebody out there that gets sensitive about Green Bay Country Club?
Seriously.
Who's Green Bay Country Club sensitive guy? Who are you?
Yeah. Really? It's a really sort of unique thing to be upset about.
I don't know.
We weren't making fun of Green Bay.
You know what? I'm sure it's terrible. I still think it's terrible. And if you're sensitive about it, I'm sorry. You're probably from Green Bay. Your childhood was probably terrible.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, am I wrong?
Just because they have mosquitoes as big as your hand, that's all. Those are unpleasant.
If you grew up in Green Bay, your life was not fun.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We both grew up here, so it was pretty awesome here.
Right.
Colorado was pretty great. So, the idea of Chubb and Miller getting better, right? Somehow pairing up. I'm with you. They're not going to get to 26 and a half sacks. That would be unbelievable. I don't think it's going to happen.
Shoot. Sign me up for that. Let's go.
Exactly.
Is that what the over-under is? Like, where did that number come from?
No, that's just what they did in 2018 when they had the one full year together.
Got it.
So, at the Broncos website, DeMarcus Ware said that Bradley Chubb trained with them to learn new pass rush moves, thinks he's going to be able to use it. Now, of course, we know DeMarcus helped Von Miller. Can he make a little bit more? Let me give you what DeMarcus Ware said. I want to see that back again because I know how much havoc they can wreak. I mean, it's 26 sacks by two dudes. That's almost 15 of 15. They can probably get 30. Imagine if you get a healthy Von and Chubb and go from there. You're saying that you're lucky to get 20. DeMarcus Ware is saying 30.
Well, DeMarcus Ware is definitely a friend of Von Miller, probably a friend of Bradley Chubb. I know that DeMarcus Ware knows what the heck he's looking at. Is he being totally unbiased in those comments? I'd probably not. Those are probably his buddies that he's talking about. Would it be awesome if they got 15 each? Heck yeah. Do I think that that's actually going to happen? No.
What would the Broncos record be if they got 15 sacks each? How many games do you think they're going
to take? In order to get that many sacks, that means you're dominating as a football team. It doesn't just mean that you're having a good year as two pass rushers. It means that you are winning all of your games and your opponents are throwing for the last quarter and a half of every single football game.
Right.
That's what that means, right? You got to get the opportunities just to get to that point. So you're looking at a 11, probably 12 win type of team. Seriously.
Yeah. If they had 30 sacks.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Maybe even more than that.
And it's funny because you look at sacks, and I think when you look at this pair, I get the excitement about it and I get the sacks, but remember at times, I think we get too wrapped up in the sack numbers because let's face it, as you well know, you better than anybody. I can't believe I'm even telling you, but sacks create punts.
Sure.
Pressure creates turnovers. And so you can actually really wreak havoc on an offense and have no sacks. It isn't necessarily all the same thing. As long as you're right up at that quarterback and forcing a throw or making a throw in an uncomfortable position or rushing it, that's when you're making a difference on that defense. So it's easy to get wrapped up in the sack totals, but that's not really the only metric of their performance.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what you're saying there. I guess I would ask you, what is a strip sack then?
Well, yes, that's true. There's exceptions to every rule.
Sure, sure. No, there's definitely truth to what you're saying. I mean, sacks create punts, and they flip the field for you is what they really do.
Yeah.
It gives you an automatic first down as an offense. You're just 10, 15 yards closer than where you were going to begin. Pressures eventually turn into turnovers. You're right. Yeah, that's over time, that's what happens. Now, if you only get one or two pressures a game, it's not going to turn into a turnover.
It has to be sustained.
But when you get the quarterbacks to the point where they're seeing ghosts and they know they got to get rid of that ball, and now all of a sudden they're getting rid of the ball quicker than they even need to, they're making bad decisions, they're not seeing the full field, that's when you get the interceptions. Even better, though, strip sacks.
Well, that
I'll
is
take
the best.
Strip sacks.
That's what we had in 2015. That is the peanut butter and chocolate of quarterback pressure.
Keep it real. That's
it's just
Perfect.
That's what won us the Super Bowl in 2015. Number one, the pressures. They created interceptions. Number two, the timeliness of the strip sacks that Vaughn and DeMarcus Ware were getting. It wasn't just that they would get sacks and they would get strip sacks. It was when they got them and when we needed them. Unbelievable, the timeliness that they had.
Can you really play defense the way that Vic Fangio is kind of setting it up? That you want to win low scoring games. I mean, is that really sustainable? And especially in the AFC West, when you know you have some high powered offenses. When I look at the way this is built, I'll preface it with this. A couple of years ago at the Super Bowl, I was talking with Brian Billick and talking about the concept of defense. And his argument was pretty sound. He said, look, because the way the rules have changed, you don't just grind guys down anymore. You have to go turnover hunting. And that's something that Vic Fangio has suggested too. You have to go hunt for turnovers. Yeah. You must create them in this day and age because the yards between the 20s are relatively cheap.
Yeah.
And so those teams are going to come away with three, and they keep doing it every time, and you don't get a turnover, they're going to get you.
Sure. So the question is, can you win football games with that style of a team? I would say, okay, what is your offense? Give me a ranking. Let's say your defense is top five. Okay, so you've got an elite defense. Okay. Give me a ranking for my offense.
Let's say the Broncos get to, let's say they were good enough to be in the middle. Say 16.
16.
Which, by the way, would be a
you can win a lot of games.
Leap.
You can. I mean, it's not easy, and you're gonna have the games where you play the Chiefs, and they're going to score 30 points, and you're just not going to win. And you're not always going to be able to hold your opponents to 24 points or less. But, yeah, if you got a middle-of-the-road offense combined with an elite defense, sure, man. I mean, we won a Super Bowl doing it. Do I think that's the formula to sustain success? No, not in today's NFL. You can temporarily win games like that, and you might even have a pretty good season, but you got to be able to put up. In today's NFL, you got to score 27 points or more every single week
if you want to be considered a true contender. That's the funny thing is, I've talked about this. I mean, obviously, you know, you were there, but the way you guys won Super Bowl 50, if you go look at the 10 Super Bowls surrounding it, it's the only way it was won like that.
Well, there's examples, man. I mean, you know, Baltimore's certainly done it over the years with great defense.
Right.
It's not as big of an anomaly as you would think, but the game has changed. Mm-hmm. And so the bigger question is not could it be done previously, but can you do it in the future?
Right.
And yeah, there will be anomalies in the future where defensive teams win a short-term championship. But you look at sustained greatness, you look at teams that go on a 3-4-5 year run, find me one of those teams that doesn't have an elite quarterback at the helm.
Right.
Find one.
You can't.
Yeah, and they're not out there.
If you want to sustain, you have to have the quarterback and build the offense and keep it there. You're exactly right. And obviously the Broncos are facing that, but they have weapons now. Lots of weapons. You've got Cortland Sutton coming back. You have Jerry Jeudy. You have KJ Hamler. You have Tim Patrick who showed up. Now you've added Javonte Williams. There's talent all over the place. We might be forgetting one of them. Talk about him next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Well, mostly. Tyler Palumbus is here.
I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, that's the guy you tuned in for. He's here.
I'm only half paying attention, but I'm here.
My name's Sean Drotar, normally of The Fan Late Night, but joining you today. This has been fun, Tyler, but I was thinking a little bit about the way we're looking at receivers with this team. Everyone's talking about Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. Yeah. What will they do in their second years? Are we overlooking Noah Fant a little bit and his potential impact on whoever wins the quarterback job?
Well, that's an interesting one. I've talked about Noah Fant here a reasonable amount me and D-Mac have talked about him a reasonable amount because, you know, with the whole Aaron Rodgers conversation, all right, what's it going to take, right? If you want to go get Aaron Rodgers, how many first-rounders, how many players, who are you willing to give up, so on and so forth. And I landed on, okay, if I had to give up an offensive player, And maybe this is going to go in the exact direction you're headed, because maybe I am overlooking him a little bit. But I said if I had to give up an offensive player, I'm not giving up Jerry Jeudy. I'm not giving up Cortland Sutton. There's not really anybody else that I could think of that would be of real appeal towards him. And then there's Noah Fant. Well, okay, you've got Albert Okwuegbunam behind him.
Coming off a serious injury.
Although almost identical players in skill sets, right? Noah Fant was the one guy that I landed on that I felt like had good value, that if they needed an offensive weapon, I might be willing to give up. But I certainly don't mean that in a negative light. Like, whenever you talk about a dude that you'd be willing to trade, that's always a compliment more than anything else, you know?
Yeah, I think when you think about Noah Fant, I know I'm putting him on the spot. Off the top of your head, where do you think you ranked him receiving yards for tight ends?
Oh, that's a good question. Receiving yards, not touchdowns.
Yeah. Touchdowns, he had three. That was a little short. But
I'll say six or seven, something like that.
He was number six.
Okay.
But to get an idea.
Wait, what was it?
In total yards?
Yeah.
I think it's not in front of me. 673, but
something like that.
I wrote it down. But the interesting thing is, he was 51 yards. Can you imagine better quarterback play last year all over the place with the back and forth? Could he have gotten 51 more yards pretty easily?
Oh, easily. I mean, that's a catch and a break.
That would have ranked him third in the entire NFL.
Is that right?
Third.
Man.
51 more yards, and it would have been Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Noah Fant.
That's
I'm not entirely sure we're giving him the credit that he's been due, because look at the quarterback situation he's had to deal with.
Yeah.
It's been a parade of different guys.
Yeah.
And here he is, 50 yards away from being the number three receiving tight end in the league.
Well, there's no doubt that the guy had a good year. I mean, I feel totally satisfied with the production level that you're getting out of Noah Fant. I guess then you look at, okay, well, with all the offensive weapons that you've got, how many of them can you keep involved at a high level? I think tight ends are always an easy guy to keep involved, because they're kind of like the quarterback's relief valve. When it's all going down, and especially when you got a big, tall guy like that, they could be a relief valve. I guess with Noah Fant, gosh, what was the game that he had the big breakaway? It was like the highlight reel, highlight touchdown of the season. I feel like he's been a little bit deceptive, because he hasn't had a ton of just like highlight reel type of moments.
Right.
He's just kind of quietly productive.
And he's still very young. So, I mean, I think when you look at the growth here, remember, he was the backup to T.J. Hawkinson. At least they were A and B.
Yep.
At the same time, when they were in college, Hawkinson was number three. He was the guy that was 50 yards ahead of Noah Fant and considered one of the better tight ends in years. But, yeah, I think when you look at a potential trade, Fant is one of the guys they'd be looking for. I'd like them to steer it a different direction, because I see a guy with a lot more promise that he may be worth it. On top of that, with a potential Rodgers.
Okay, well, right? Play the game, though.
Okay, yeah.
For a second, let's say that the Packers are demanding, we need an offensive weapon in return. Okay, I don't want to do that. I prefer to give up defensive guys. If you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to give up any young offensive weapons.
Yeah.
But if you had to give up an offensive weapon, who would you give up?
That's got real value. Handler.
What kind of value does KJ Hamler have?
Second round pick, right?
No chance. You think you get a second round value in return
for the guy you just picked in the second round?
No chance.
I agree. You can't. That's part of the problem, isn't
it? Right.
But I am with you. There's no Jerry Jeudy is off the table.
Yeah.
No.
Well, if you break it down, like, okay, Cortland Sutton, is he worth a first rounder? Yeah, probably, right? Jerry Jeudy, is he worth a first rounder?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so. D-Mac doesn't for some reason, but I think he's worth a first rounder. I don't know of anybody else on the offensive side that's worth a first, right?
No, I don't think you really have anybody else.
Noah Fant's probably not worth a first either.
No.
But, I mean, he's a tight end. Tight ends don't get drafted in the first round unless you're Noah Fant. but I think you get good value for him. So, you know, I just kind of look at it as guys that might be a potential target for the Packers. And would I give them up for Aaron Rodgers? Sure, I would. But that's a compliment at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would, too, if you're talking about landing Rodgers, because the rising tide sort of raises all boats. Every single person who can catch a pass gets better the second Aaron Rodgers steps on the field.
No doubt about it.
But it is the tight end room is thin. When you really look at it, it's not as if they have a ton of guys who are ready to make an impact. Okwuegbunam's coming off a serious injury. He was a sixth-round guy. I understand the similar skill set, but he's not as developed a player. He only really took a few snaps before he got hurt, to be honest. So I look at it and think that's one of those really spots that I get concerned about trading someone away, because the Broncos have been tripped up in multiple years by their lack of depth.
Yeah.
And they're always surprised over the last few years that things didn't turn out as well as they thought. Thought they were contending for the playoffs. They're a losing team. And they're always surprised. And it's because they haven't had depth. They lose one person and it's all falls apart. That's why I think when you look at the draft that George Payton made and talked about it after the draft, picked a lot of guys for depth. And I think that's a little unusual because John Elway was trying to hit home runs in every round, mm-hmm. which is one perfectly fine way to approach it. But if you miss and you're picking players that don't stick on your team at all, which has happened, Carlos Henderson comes to mind,
sure.
second round pick, then you're left with nothing.
Gosh, he was a second rounder? I forgot that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you don't want to go over that mid 2010 drafts, you believe.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's a good thing for George Payton in theory, but at the same time, you look at it like, man, your first crack at being a GM. Would you have been that conservative with your first crack
no.
at it?
Right. No way.
Yeah, I mean, I just know who I am. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying I know who I am. I'm probably not going after the depth guys in my first ever draft. But you look, that's who he is. It's not surprising. You know that he's a well-thought-out guy. And if you look at the Vikings' approach to free agency and the draft over the last 7-8 years, that's what he did. That's exactly who they are. They're a good football team with a lot of depth, but they don't necessarily have the breakout stars that a lot of teams need.
Yeah, I mean, they got lucky with Justin Jefferson, looks great. Then Dalvin Cook is healthy. Of course, he's phenomenal. But you're right that it's a solid team. You look at Minnesota and go, they're pretty good every year.
Yep.
But you don't look at them and go, wow, they're contender. They may win the NFC Championship. You don't even think about it. They're just going to be pretty good, might make the wild card.
But like anybody else, they're a superstar quarterback away. And I like Kirk Cousins a whole lot more than most people do. I certainly respect his game. And, yeah, I'm friends with him, so that makes me a little bit biased. But had they gotten elite quarterback play out of Kirk Cousins, they could be a contender very easily.
I actually can see that, too. And the elite quarterback part of the process for the Broncos is ongoing. But we just talked about the conservative nature of George Payton.
Yep.
Well, say it's probably a similar one with Vic Fangio.
Yep.
That means that this quarterback competition isn't 50-50. Oh. I'll explain next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
Earlier in the show, we had an opportunity to talk to our 9 News Broncos insider, Mike Bliss, brought to you by Bet River Sportsbook. And he talked a little bit about the Broncos' new quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
I think the big thing with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, this competition is the first time that Drew Lock is going through a little bit of adversity, right? I mean, he's always been the guy. Even last year, he was the guy. Teddy Bridgewater, after that injury in 2016, a week before the start of the season, he basically missed 2 years. When it happened, you know, initially, there was, you know, they had some life and death maneuvers, you know, medical training maneuvers. They thought the dislocation severed not only the ACL, which it did, but they're also worried a little bit about an artery. It turned out that wasn't the case, luckily. Put in an air cast, but it wasn't your typical torn ACL. There was a dislocated knee at the same time. And it was difficult for him to come back. He basically missed 2 years, and then he went. He went to the Jets for a minute and was traded to the Saints, and played just one game there, and then went 5-0 4 years later. And when he went 5-0, Kennard McGuire was able to get him that big contract. It was roughly 23 million a year from the Carolina Panthers. So he's really started, he's been a 2 year starter in 2015, the second season with the Vikings, and then 2020 with the Panthers. So he's a young 28. He said because of that injury and all the doubt that was surrounding it, that he just comes to work and smiles every day.
Yeah.
It's not a competition for the starting quarterback. He's been through worse, you know, releases and trades and he's got that right attitude about it all. A guy who's been through quite a bit.
Mike, according to the majority of media reports, we had one day that Drew Locke won the quarterback competition and Teddy Bridgewater won the rest of them. Did you get a vibe for what was going on the days the media was not there, though? I mean, what was going on the rest of the days?
Yeah, I had it. I had Drew Locke with two. No one could have had Teddy Bridgewater winning the first day. You just can't give that first day to him. He missed so many throws. It looked like it was his first practice, and you know, that's the way he performed. Locke won that one, and then Locke won Tuesday, this past Tuesday in the mini camp. But besides, yeah, there's some intangibles with Teddy Bridgewater. You know, the way he interacts with teammates, you know, with the receivers. What are you seeing, you know, the tight ends and the slot receivers? What are you seeing on those option routes? Why did you go that way and not this way? You know, he'll go up to Judy, need you to cut, you know, whatever it is that he tells him. Cut a little later, cut a little sooner. And besides that, he interacts with the defensive guys, because he wants to know, you know, what they see from him, tendencies that they see from him. You saw that I was going to roll out that time? How'd you know? So he's always trying to pick brains out there. It's kind of a visible leadership, as I call it. And I think that's another reason why he's got a leg up on Drew Locke. It's just he's been around, and it's a young offense otherwise for the most part. You know, Bobby Massey will up the age a little bit, but, you know, Fant's still young. Even Sutton's still young. Judy, you got Javonte Williams as a rookie running back now. I think Teddy Bridgewater's maturity and experience might, right now anyway, and there's a long way to go, like 97% to go, Teddy looks like he's got a slight lead.
Yeah, Mike, you went exactly where I wanted to go. Last one for you. We're talking about all of this, but Vic Fangio said it was 2-3% of the evaluation process. Is that a bit of an exaggeration?
Probably, but I mean, it was a point he was trying to make there that, you know, it is about the performance in the training camp, and it's really going to be about the performance in the preseason. I mean, I think everybody's going to be able to pick the winner. You know, the guy sitting on his couch watching the Vikings game and watching the Seattle game is going to be able to maybe pick who the winner was, just like we did a few years ago, Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. It was really obvious to everyone that Trevor Siemian won that one. The year before, Siemian and Sanchez and Lynch. And I think it'll come down to something like that. Also, it will be the preseason, move the ball in training camp. But at the same time, first impressions matter more than 2-3%. I think they have an idea who the leader in the clubhouse is right now.
Well, Mike, thanks for the time today. Enjoy your Father's Day. Good luck with the Kliss match. Thanks for the time.
Yeah. See you guys.
Have a good one. Thanks. That was our 9 News Broncos Insider, Mike Liss, presented by a Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And the setup here for the quarterback position, right? 50-50 is what we hear. It's what we hear all right. The time. It's going to be all the way through the different preseason games, right, Tyler? I mean, do you believe it?
Well, do I believe that it's truly 50-50? No, I think that Vic Fangio's got a guy in mind, and he's waiting for confirmation of that. I do think that they're going to get 50-50 reps, though, which is dumb. And unfortunately, I think it's going to go way too long. It's probably going to go, well, I guess this year it's got to be, you got to declare your starter by the second preseason game, because that's going to be your dress rehearsal. So I doubt if they change the reps or anything, though, even though I would agree with you that, yeah, I think they've got a guy in mind. I think that guy is probably Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I suspect it is, too. You're talking about a conservative coach, what seemingly at this point a conservative GM in George Payton, who was involved in drafting Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
And you have an offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, who didn't get much time with Bridgewater, but did work with Teddy Bridgewater. So, I mean, there are some legs up here, and when you talk about the idea of it being 50-50, people look at it and go, but Drew Locke's potential. Okay, and that's true. I get Drew Locke's potential. Vic Fangio can't afford to wait around for that because he might get fired.
Yeah, here's an interesting way to look at it, though. If you broke it down guy by guy in the building, Vic Fangio, who does he want? Well, Vic Fangio has to win games this year, right now, or else he's not going to be a head coach again.
So in September. Probably he's never won a September game.
Yeah, that's right. So he's probably going to want Teddy Bridgewater. George Payton, I don't know that he necessarily has got a real dog in the hunt, other than the fact that he's known Teddy Bridgewater longer, so he might feel a little bit of a vested interest there. You know, the interesting one is Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur probably wants to become a head coach again, I'm going to assume. I don't think he's going to become a head coach again, but in his mind, he probably thinks he will. And if he wants to become a head coach again, which one of those quarterbacks is going to give him the best opportunity to showcase an explosive offense that gets him hired, right? And, you know, the more I thought about it, I think that Pat Shurmur might actually be leaning towards Drew Locke, because what is Pat Shurmur going to be able to do with Teddy Bridgewater? Well, he might be able to move the sticks a little bit. He might be able to go out there and put out a decent offense. But is it going to be the type of offense that can get you a new head coaching job?
Probably not. I mean, you're right. You're looking for explosive plays. You're looking for something to get people's attention. You're looking to have a 2021 type offense, not a really conservative, just grind it out type of offense, which is interesting because, look, they moved on from Mitch Gangarello to get Pat Shurmur.
Yep.
And now, because the quarterbacks, because of the roster they have, your offensive coordinator may have a completely different idea on what he wants a quarterback than your head coach and your GM.
So who gets the vote? That's the question.
That can't be good, right?
Can't be good. And who gets the vote? I'm not entirely sure on that. I mean, clearly you would think that Vic Fangio gets the vote. But is he really going to mess around with the offensive side? Is he really going to tell Pat Shurmur no if Pat Shurmur wants it to be Drew Locke? I don't know. Who do you think's got the power?
Yeah, this is an interesting situation because we can tell by the way they've constructed this roster. It's the high-paced defense in the league. They want to try to win games 17-14.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do that in today's NFL where every rule in the last 15 years favors offense, but that's what they're trying to do. And you're exactly right. This is part of what's not being discussed, Tyler, and you hit it right on the head there. It's not just players. What are the motivations of the coaches? What do they want to do in their career? You're right. Pat Shurmur probably wants to be a head coach again. To do that, you have to get some attention.
Yeah, I mean, do I think he's going to be a head coach?
He's still with it. He's still hip.
But ask Pat Shurmur that. What do you think his goal is? Once you get that power, I mean, you're a human being. You want to get the power back. You want to be a head coach again. So he's probably going to be motivated to go with the more explosive guy, I would think, unless he's satisfied with just being a coordinator the rest of his career. And if he's satisfied with that, then he'll go with Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, that's it for us. Thank you, Tyler. It's been fun sitting in with you. We haven't gotten to do a show, the first one we've ever get to do.
I love it, man. A little buff on buff love around here.
It is. What? You got phrasing. We still doing phrasing?
Yeah, buddy.
Coming up next, Nick and Cecil on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.